helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, Smart Money with Hank Madden on News 104.5 WOKV.
Jacksonville, welcome to Smart Money on this absolutely miserable Saturday. Although if it were not for the rain, it'd be halfway decent football Saturday, but that's not the case. anyway, good morning. I'm Hank Madden.
I'm Mike Ellis.
And Corey Schrader.
I tell you, we have had an interesting morning. Our pass cards wouldn't get us inside the secured area. Then the headphones plugged in. The jacks were not working.
And while you guys couldn't see it over here, the log just jumped on me by 5.5 hours. So good times all around.
It's one of those Saturdays.
It's a rainy Saturday.
I tell you what. This is great. I love it. First-time listener, a special welcome to you guys and gals. Boy, we did get started late. And I hope you can make it for the full 2 hours. As always, our regular listeners, a very special hello to you, and thank you for your listening patronage. Your numbers ever growing. The show, what is this about? Two things. We're going to bring you up-to-date financial news. And we're also going to add a political twist to it, so you'll understand why politics, although the left generally likes to acknowledge that, no, politics don't have anything to do with your finances unless we implement it. Then it has everything. But, yeah, they do. And we're going to do it on a national and an international basis. And then at the bottom of the hour, as I originally designed this show umpteen months or years ago, we're going to open up the lines to you and your questions. Folks, there's a lot going on right now, and I cannot help but believe you folks have got some really points of concern. We are a Christian-based radio show. We our firm, Madden Advisory, yeah, we have real jobs, real day jobs. Is a Christian-based firm, and we try to conduct our lives along the principles of Christ Jesus. I tell you this so as not to flaunt a religion, but to let you know that we do have a moral foundation upon which we stand. It is so obvious this country today has no moral rudder, and it's up to its citizens to get one. I was just listening to a broadcast coming in on a Christian network. If you haven't listened to 91.7 your ride in the morning, it's a good Christian channel. But California was getting ready to pass a law that said all churches must report the exact content of what their sermons are about, any discussions, etc. I think Houston tried to do this a couple of years ago. Folks, that's frightening because that's just the next step is censorship. So, topics, if this doesn't float your boat and get you concerned, how about the inverted yield curve sparks recession fears and what do you need to know about it? And depending upon where we go, we're going to talk about the Dow Jones being jerked all over the place, Treasury yields plunging, the yuan falls, gold spikes, and what's going on there. So the market wrap this week.
So a lot to talk about today, and really just wanted to review what's going on for the week. If you guys hadn't noticed, and Hank just alluded to it, recession has been called for, or at least projected, but we don't see it that way. We think things are a lot more optimistic and a lot more positive. So, we saw where Trump extended the tariffs and said, hey, we're not going to see them in September. We're going to delay them a little bit. We had a little bit of some bond yield inversion for a couple of days. Again, we're going to talk a little bit about that later. The market this week, the Dow Jones was down about 1.5. S&P was down 1%. And the NASDAQ was down 0.8. But when we look at this from an optimistic point of view, Dow Jones is still up year to date 11%. S&P is up 15 and the NASDAQ is up 19. And surprisingly, bonds are up 8.5% this year. So pretty optimistic. U.S. productivity and retail sales were also up the most in 4 months. This week ahead, we have economic existing home sales. The Fed minutes are coming out from July. Got some PMI information coming out as well as home sales. And pretty sure we're going to be talking about Hong Kong again today. So a lot of good things coming out there, good opportunities while things are a little rocky. What do you think, Hank?
I think that we're on the road in this. You'll find it to be kind of a false recession advisory. We don't think that it's not a recession coming. Yeah. Hey, Scotty, let's go ahead and take a short time out now so I can just have that whole time uninterrupted. Folks, you're listening to News 104.5 WOKV 1017. Did you know?
There are classifications for recessions and their recoveries. Can you guess a few of those classifications?
Pick me.
Go. What's your guess?
I'll tell you after the break.
Sounds good to me.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You are listening to News 104.5. WOKV, it is 10:20. I wonder if Epstein used Gorilla Glue, glue his noose to the ceiling, and then hung himself. Anyway, just a speculation.
I believe it was Clinton glue.
Go, Mike.
No. So, did you know there are five classifications for recessions and their subsequent recoveries? In order of most severe to least severe, they're L, U, W, V, and J. These designations come from the chart of economic conditions, not stock prices necessarily, and what those charts look like. Think more along the lines of unemployment or GDP.
Cool.
Nice.
Now, we're going to further develop this as we go through the show. Okay, inverted yield curve. All right, guys, you investors. Well, an inverted yield curve is a sign that equities could peak before an economic recession hits. It also can be a precursor to a bear market in stocks. That's when equities drop 20%. The main Treasury yield curve inverted Wednesday morning. However, former Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen said it could be a false recession signal this time. Just look at the economy and you'll understand why she said it. An inverted yield curve occurs when long-term government yields fall below rates on short-term notes and bills. U.S. stocks plunged August 14th as the main Treasury yield curve inverted with the two-year yield above the 10-year Treasury yield. You know, that's really, try to visualize that. That's the best way you can do it. For the first time since 07. Now, you also had very weak Chinese and German economic data. Then that raised further global growth concerns. The 10-year yield was just short of 1.6%, and the 2-year yield stood at just short of 6%. They were about 5 basis points short. What?
Should have been 2% now on the 30-year?
That was on the 10-year yield. Let's see. This was a barely positive yield curve again after inverting for much of the morning. The 10-year, we're getting to where you are, rate stood at 2.69 at the start of 2019. The inverted yield curve initially reared its head in March after the Federal Reserve signaled that no more interest rate hikes would be forthcoming this year. However, long-term Treasury yields continued to fall, even as policymakers took a dovish stance with the Fed rate cut last month and more easing expected in the coming meetings. Well, you know, you had a lot of people, too, rushing into the bond market, which drove the bond price is up, which means that the yield and price go in opposite directions. So that is another factor feeding it. Stock market volatility has picked up in August amid a widening gap between the yield on three-month Treasury bills and the benchmark 10-year bond. The 10-year Treasury yield fell after China allowed its currency to weaken versus a dollar past a key level. Bank stocks sold off amid the yield curve inversion. One view is that high-yielding dividend stocks could be back in favor if the inverted yield curve proves long-lasting amid the China trade wars. So what is an inverted yield curve? Simply put, an inverted yield curve occurs when short-term rates surpass those of long-term notes, U.S. Treasuries, are bonds or debts sold by the federal government. I bet you I'm stealing some of your thunder, Mikey.
A little bit.
Well, yep. A closely watched indicator for an inverted yield curve is when the yield of the three-month Treasury bill rises above the yield for the 10-year Treasuries. This partial inversion has been going on for months, but the classic inverted yield is when the 10-year yield falls below that of the 2-year yield. I bet I'm just making you guys morning worth everything. A steeper yield curve occurs when the gap between the short-term and the long-term rates increases. It's the opposite of a flattening. The flattening of a yield curve had been a trend since around 2013. Now, while an inverted yield curve has been a reliable indicator of slowing U.S. economies, the timing of an upcoming recession has been uncertain. Historically, prolonged curve inversions have usually preceded major economic slowdowns by about a year. Economists noted that an inverted yield curve can occur prematurely. For an example, it turned negative a couple of times during 1995 and during 1998. A recession did not officially start until March of 2001. However, U.S. stock markets imploded much sooner in 2000, and that was because people made stupid, dumb mistakes and invested in companies that had no earthly ability to make money other than a mission statement. That's not a technical definition either, by the way. Now, and as I was just saying, it's amid over-investment in unprofitable internet companies and telecom networks. Sometimes we'll talk about when markets peak and what that's called. While an inverted yield curve can signal that the risk of recession is rising, global monetary policy remains equity market friendly, and that's according to the analyst. A solid U.S. labor market continues to support that, support consumption, and that's what has got us past the slowdown in manufacturing. Now, bank stocks are a key sector to watch because a yield curve is associated with a credit crunch. It said that banks stop lending when the rates they pay in money markets or their deposits and their borrowing exceed the rates they charge on the loans they make to businesses and the household. Well, that's not a threat of happening anytime soon. So, folks, don't get caught up in the hysteria of this market. Remember, the Democrats have got to do everything that they can to paint a picture in your mind that this economy is failing. Donald Trump cannot be tested. So know that you got to go to the bathroom.
No, on that note, you're talking about the Democrats and their agenda on that.
Yeah.
Last night on HBO, Bill Maher.
He's a jackass.
I don't know if you saw what he said.
Yeah,
he literally said, I hope we go into a recession so
a
that we can change administrations.
That's typical of the Democrats. They could give a rat's behind, folks, about that's a sanitized military term. They could care less about us, Americans. All they care about is their power. And when they say we hope a recession, I'm telling you, well, I don't have to tell you anything. You know this. Look what the Democrats caused in the market crash in 08, 09 with the Community Reinvestment Act. That collapsed the bond market. And in turn, we saw people lose their home, businesses collapse. Retirement funds were spent for survival, kids' education thrown out the window because the parents had to use that money. In turn, families were broken up through divorce. If that is fair, just so they don't have to look up to Donald Trump, then honestly, I don't want what they have. I didn't want what they have anyway, but it just shows you how callous and lack of care and respect they have for America, American citizens, and our values. That's my opinion, and if you don't agree, I don't really care. So, whatever. Hey, listen, we got to, it's that time. I can't believe it. We're going to take an information timeout. That's right. We're going to bring you up to date Fox National News, local weather, traffic patterns for the Jacksonville area. And then the lines are open. 855-765-1045. So call and call now. Did you know?
What is the United States definition of a recession? Do you know?
Yes, I do. And I think everybody else would be surprised.
But you're going to shock us, aren't you?
I am.
Okay. I'm excited.
Folks, we'll see you on the other side. Hey, folks, welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money time is 10:35 as a beautiful, wounded, and recovering, ever-loving Misty Minx will tell you. Lines are open, 855-765-1045. That is 855 855- 765-1045. Call and call now, and I'd love to hear those of you that have concerns that are thinking, I would probably get out of this market and sell everything. If so, I'd like to understand what your logic is in saying that. So, did you know?
So most people confuse the United Kingdom's and the United States' definition of recession. The UK defines a recession as two or more quarters of negative GDP growth, while the US defines a recession as a significant decline in economic activity spread across the economy, lasting more than a few months, normally visible in real GDP, real income, unemployment, industrial production, and wholesale resale sales.
Huh.
Well,
yeah.
That's a mouthful.
That's why they just say two negative. But that's interesting because then they can go back and pretty much say, hey, we saw a slowdown over the last 4 or 6 months. We actually had a recession without quantifying it. It's kind of interesting.
Yep. And, well, that's the other thing. And I will touch on it a little more later.
Tell us now.
Oftentimes, they will go back and retroactively, just like you said, classify something as a recession.
Oh, by the way,
you had one. You didn't know.
That's happened
many times.
Many, many times, yes. There's a, for those of you that really like to get down into the weeds, Finance and Development is a good website. They publish a magazine, and they had a very, very interesting, well, it is to us because we like this stuff, article on what is a recession. And as Michael said, and this really surprised us because I didn't know this. I think Mike knew the answer, there is no official definition of recession, but there is a general recognition that the term refers to a period of decline in economic activity. And so that was in line, Mike, with what you were saying.
Yep.
The market this week, this is, and folks, just keep reminding yourself, this is a media-driven market. And we know from the past performance of the media that it lacks a significant amount of of actual facts that will sustain that opinion, and that the mainstream media is waist deep in the back pockets of the Democrats, or vice versa, on doing anything to discredit Trump. Actually, you know, they're trying to do a little bit of Obama discrediting, which that's fine with me. Although Biden's doing a pretty good job at that. But anyway, anything that would make this economy look bad, what should you do about it? Well, honestly, if you've got extra money, this is a good time to invest it. You're beginning to buy in troughs. Is China important? Yes, it is. Now, this is Hank Madden's own opinion, but in light of everything that has happened, even though China is in dire financial needs, their economy is really, really in trouble. Remember, China wants three things. They want to be the yuan to be the world's reserve currency. They want to have the leading economy, number one economy in the world, and they want to be the world's superpower. Well, they're running a million-man military at this point in time, and a lot of it's high tech, and they have got to keep that up. And as any of you'll know, that anything with technology in it, it is requires a lot of service and a lot of money. Economy, their banking system, nobody has brought it out, but it's got to be getting in trouble. The Politburo, those are the elites in the Communist Party, much like the Socialist Democrats and their levels of organizational structure, pretty much parallel, and those that don't will soon parallel that of the Communist Party. They own everything. Sheila Jackson Lee was caught one time, the slip of a tongue, and she was disagreeing with a businessman and said, well, if you don't like this, we'll just nationalize you. And then she, whoops, I shouldn't have said that. But that's how they think. And once they nationalize it, that means they own it. Look what they did to General Motors. Violated almost every security principle when Obama allowed the unions to have preference over the actual investors and bondholders. Those banks, they don't lend money per se. They have ghost banks that do. That's what they had created, and they generally refer to them as ghost banks. So these ghost banks lend the money out to the entrepreneurs. Well, guess what? Those entrepreneurs... are you okay over there?
I'm having a hard time over here.
I'm telling you.
Step out for a second.
Okay. Slug it down, bud. I think all of us are having a little bit of a sinus issue. But anyway, the ghost, okay, Mike, suck it up. Really? Just suck it up. Anyway, these ghost banks have lent out billions of dollars. Well, now these billion-dollar growth companies are failing, and along with it is their ability to service the notes. Well, somebody's got to eat that. Now, you can better believe that the national banks, they will cover that up. And if they're really, really losing... then those principals in charge would just kind of disappear someplace, them and their families, never to be heard from again. So it's really scary with them. The yuan, the yuan is in trouble. That is the Chinese currency. They tried to lower it artificially so it made them more competitive. Other countries have done the same thing of recent. And that enables you to buy their goods cheaper. But with the yuan, its floating rate just is dropping and is not stable. Don't look for that to happen soon. The only thing they've got left is the military. And, you know, Reagan defeated Russia and Gorbachev by just saying, okay, we can outproduce you. Well, we know that we can outproduce the Chinese. And if they want to bring that battle on, well, let's go for it. You're seeing something else, too, to pay attention to, that China does have an out as well as we do by not, as far as not being able to buy discounted, pirated Chinese products. China takes their not quite finished product and they send it over to Vietnam. Vietnam repackages that. And then ships it out as made in Vietnam. They're doing the same thing in the Philippines. Well, we're doing the same thing as well. We're going to Vietnam and we're going to the Philippines to buy the goods that we need. So there is a way to get around this. Europe has a big problem. Europe's biggest problem is something self-inflicted. It's called socialism. Another form of communism. And the socialist policies that they have created, you remember what was all the trouble that we had with Greece when Greece was almost bankrupt? If you guys want to throw a word in, I'll give you my permission. But anyway, Greece had lived under a nanny state, I think, since World War II. And in turn, people became very used to it, very dependent upon it. Well, that's what's happened in Europe. They're very dependent upon it. So you try to all of a sudden yank that security blanket, and that security blanket has a big price tag attached to it. And you've got some real problems, some real dissent. So Europe's is going to be a long time away from becoming, I think, an economic powerhouse. Yeah, they can be profitable, but that's mainly Germany as their main driving force over there. Great Britain is going to be interesting to see what happens with them. And getting out of Brexit. And once Britain is able to do that, we're already seeing some countries testing the water over there. And I will forecast that, I don't know, maybe in the next 10 years, you'll probably see the EU disintegrate, dissolve. And how that comes about could be very dangerous because they got a lot of debt. But yes, that does have an impact on your portfolios, how we invest, how many Lamborghinis you might buy or Bentleys that you might buy, or I think the French, what do they make, the
Fiat? No, that's it. Italy.
No, that's Italy. Oh, yeah. They make the
Peugeot. The best cars, Ferraris.
French don't make Ferraris. And besides,
no,
Ferrari
is just... He's talking about Italy.
Yeah, Ferrari is just an overrated Corvette.
Well, that's why we say buy American.
That's why we,
right?
Yeah, exactly. It's probably made here anyway.
Well, but on the European note, so, you know, we see the weakness over in Europe. Yep. We see most of the European Union actually having negative bond yields.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, folks, that if you're a saver and you're putting money away in your bank account, you're paying your bank to do that. You're not getting interest back from your bank. It's backwards.
Yeah, they were talking about this on CNBC yesterday and basically putting a tax on the economy.
It's essentially what it is. You're taxing savings. And then any smart person, what are they going to do? They're going to go out. They're going to look for something that gives them a return that's better than negative. I think that's pretty safe to say.
That makes sense.
So where are they going to go right now? U.S. Treasuries.
Yep.
Okay, let's see if DEA.
DEA?
Oh, Constantine DEA. I don't know. Is that her subject matter? I don't know. Inquiring minds want to know.
I don't know.
I just changed it.
Oh, Dean Southside. Okay.
Oh, I gotcha.
Sorry, you're playing with us.
Okay, changing attitudes. All right, Dean. I got a good attitude. How about you?
Hello? I got a great attitude.
Yeah? Let's go for it.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of build on what you were saying. You know, a couple weeks ago we talked about the one world government, you know, and kind of your theory on that. Same thing you're talking about with Europe and the nanny state, though. And I think the United States, I mean, that's what the Democratic Party is all about, though, trying to get folks, you know, the education system, you know, the unions, you know, dumbing down the young kids. I mean, they can't even tell you the three branches of government are basic civics questions, though. So I just, you know, they may have smartphones and, you know, all the technology that goes with today, but I just think that the younger generations just are not aware of the government, what it's taken, you know, and how fragile this form of government is, though, and thinking that these people on the Democratic side of the aisle are running for president are going to do something for you. I mean, obviously Donald Trump is the answer, but hopefully, like I say, we've seen him get reelected in 2020 and continue this march. But I just think the socialists in this country are just afraid of Donald Trump, and that's why, like you said, every turn, you know, the media who's in bed with the Democrats try to, you know, discredit Mr. Trump.
Well, look at home ownership. That is increasing. The working populace today, particularly when you look at the minorities across the board, records. We're seeing that the millennials, that's you, Michael.
But
Michael is he's a nice millennial. He's not like those other.
I don't even know what that means, and I'm not a millennial, but
what is a nice millennial?
Yeah, what does that mean?
That means he's not stupid. He likes to have good work ethics.
Gotcha.
He believes in capitalism. He believes in family. He doesn't walk around with a rectangular device glued to his face. He can actually carry on a conversation that has more than two sentences in it and multi-syllable words.
I was going to say, I don't talk in acronyms.
Well, not anymore.
OMG.
The millennials today are, folks, what's really scary, they're our future. And just what do you think their kids are going to be like? They're not really getting the parenting at home. They wouldn't be where they are today. Parents don't really pay that much attention. Look at the chubby chunker children that are running around.
Easy now.
But, hey, it's true. Just look at them. You're seeing it now on news. There's actually a phone app, I think, that's out for kids that they can go to and help them better understand dieting. That used to be the responsibility of parents.
I would give it a little bit of some optimism. I had a client in yesterday that came in with his son, and they were very much about trying to make sure their kid was financially aware and was being taken care of moving forward. So,
Were they Christians?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were on it, and they were very, very much focused on their kids' finances and taking care of them moving forward. So there's optimism out there, though.
The reason I asked that question about were they Christians,
mm-hmm.
Churches today are encouraging families to be far more responsible. Dean, I've got to take a short time out. Can you stick with us?
Yes.
Great. So hang tight, folks. We're going to take a short information time out, and then we're going to be right back. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. It is 10:52. Did you know?
How many recessions has the United States had since 1854? Corey, do you know?
Six. Lucky number six.
I'll take the high over that. We'll find out after the break.
Oops. 13.
Closer.
Really like Spenders. Hey, right, folks, welcome back to Smart Money. Listen to News 104.5, 1056. Did you know?
Did you know the United States has had 33 recessions in 165 years? Baby boomers will have lived through between 7 and 12 of them. Generation X, 4 to 7 of them. Millennials, 2 to 4 of them. And Gen Z, the newest one, at 2 at most. But they're probably too young to remember them.
Gen Z.
Yeah. Okay, Dean.
Yes, back here.
Okay, buddy. The attitudes that you're talking about are so prevalent. They're also so very scary. We try to make you aware of them here and how they can apply to you and your money. I hope that we have given you some of our insights.
Oh, yeah, you're very insightful. And, you know, like I say, you tell it the way it is with these politics. I mean, and, you know, like you said, the Democratic Party is, you know, trying to run Joe Biden, who's been in Washington since I was in high school. I'm getting ready to draw Social Security in a couple more years, and he's supposed to be a change agent for the Democratic Party. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, what's his claim to fame as far as getting things done for the American people? Like I said, the Democratic Party is just so bankrupt of ideas and trying to look out for the American people. And like I said, the things that you advocate on your show are just so right on.
Well, great. Listen, God bless. Thank you for calling. I want to get to Blake before we have to get out of here, but I do appreciate it. Blake, Mandarin.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I am finer than fiddle dust. We got about 2 minutes.
I don't even know what that means.
2 minutes. Okay, so we know they've been trying to attack our Second Amendment rights here in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I've been leading the battle since September of last year. You've got people like the Women's March and Mothers Demand Action for Gun Sense who have been the ones that have been pushing the agenda. And the Mothers Demand Action for Gun Sense has a national recess rally going on today all across the country, and they've got a recess rally going on down at the county courthouse.
Okay, and so they're rallying to have what done?
Well, okay, this is Michael Bloomberg's organization, and so what they're trying to do is they're trying to push the gun-grabbing agenda both on the national level and the local level. Of course, you know they want to go after the emergency risk protection orders. They want to ban high-capacity or what they consider high-capacity magazines, and they also want to ban the Armalite 15 rifles. Down here in Jacksonville, they want to mandate universal background checks and set up a gun registry and just basically close that whole process down for us.
Well, I tell you what, the one thing that saved us in World War II from an invasion, the Japanese knew that we had a very large army.
Correct.
Listen, Blake, they're telling me I got to get out of here. So I do appreciate your call, and we'll try to chat a little bit more. Okay?
Okay, God bless you, sir. Yes, sir.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, we're going to take an information timeout, bring you up-to-date Fox National News, local weather, traffic patterns for the Jacksonville area, and then we're back to you and your questions. 855-765-1045. It's a beautiful and wounded poor Mystic Meats will tell you. Did you know?
Can you guess the average length of a recession?
Average length, 2 years.
No, 6 months.
I'm going to go with the middle. We'll tell you after the break, though.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, Smart Money with Hank Madden on News 104.5 WOKV.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money Live, Hour 2, on this not-so-sunny, rainy Saturday afternoon. I don't like rain. Well, I do like rain, but not when it messes up the weekend. So, anyway, welcome back, folks. Lines are open, 855-765-1045, as the beautiful Mystic Mink keeps asking me to remind you. 855-765-1045. 1045. So call and call now. Did you know?
So the average length of all recorded U.S. recessions is 17 and a half months. However, that length of recession has been shortening over time. Early recessions averaged about 21, a little over 21 and a half months. And in current times, the average is just over 11 months.
See, that's what Moses and I had to deal with.
Yeah, that 21 months, yeah,
buddy,
almost 2 years.
I'm telling you, when the camel supply and donkey supply dropped,
That's why I thought you were going with that. I was like, wait, Moses?
The wheels chipped back then, going down those rocky roads.
Yeah, Moses. Oh boy, do they. I tell you, when we were in Pompeii, you could break your neck trying to walk across the street there. I don't know how the heck they did it. There were huge ruts, I guess, where the chariots
just roll through.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about the horses that had to pull those doggone things.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Sunken roads.
Yeah.
Donkeys.
Well, yeah, but they're little hooves. Okay, Eric, Neptune Beach, 403B.
Good morning.
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
I'm fine. Oh, a little rainy out here, too, but yeah. We could use it. So, listen, my wife has a 403B from a church nursery school back in New York. We retired down here, and we're both fast approaching 70 and a half. She's concerned that the 403B, which is, of course, handled by a large brokerage house, that the nursery school might actually close down, and the people she knew up there probably don't even know her any longer. So she's thinking about, how do I take that out of there so it's just localized down here and she'll have nothing to do with the nursery school, who eventually might not even know who she is.
Well, probably. How large is her account?
It's about $125,000.
Okay, so it's nothing to sneeze at then.
No.
Okay. I'm going to let you two guys take at it.
Mike, you want this one or you want me to jump on this one?
Hey, I got this. So.
All right, I'll jump on too. All right,
fair enough. So, Eric, the good news is even if the nursery school disappeared tomorrow, that money is still in an account that's got her name on it and it won't go anywhere. It's not like pensions of old. So as far as, answering your question about what can she do with it, you are able to roll over a 403B into an individual IRA that would be held with whatever institution she wants. So whether that's, Merrill, Schwab, if you had a local advisory firm such as us that wanted to contact and work on that, it's really up to you. Well, her technically, because it's hers.
Yeah, exactly.
Corey's sitting over there.
Now, can she roll it over into an approved bank or credit union CD?
There are IRA CDs, so yes, she can do that. Part of that should be a conversation that she has about, long-term goals. If you're looking at a CD, I promise you won't keep up with inflation. And inflation is the silent killer. It's the thing that steals your money in the middle of the night and you never feel it.
She has no use for the money right now, and I understand about the inflation aspect. But her major concern is if they close down up there, any sort of documentation through them might be difficult. She'd rather get everything done down here locally.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And I would say, Eric, basically, right now, some of your concerns is it's in the actual plan. By putting it into her own name, she actually has the control over it, which is the key here, right? Because they can, to what Mike was talking about, the money doesn't go anywhere. But if they want to move from one brokerage house to another, I've had instances where clients have told me 2 years later, I have no idea where my 401k went, and I need help finding it. And
well, that did happen with her, and that's why I raised the subject. One brokerage house, it moved to another one. That initiated some conversation about, well, things are moving around. I'd rather get control over it.
Yeah, and then of course, one of the things a couple of years ago, or maybe it was last year, they were talking about the DOL or the Department of Labor rule. There's certain provisions and things about the 401k or 403b you want to pay attention to. you know, if you guys were planning on taking out loans or if you, you know, wanted credit protection, you know, here in Florida, you're just as covered with a 403B 401k as you are in an IRA. So, you know, it's not as much of a big deal here in Florida with asset protection. But, you know, to be able to have, you know, potentially better investments, better options, you know, you were talking about CDs. You know, as Mike said, we want to look at what's the best area and opportunity for your overall long-term and short-term goals there to see what investments drive that. Right. But, you know, what's the likelihood you can get a CD and a 403B? It's not very likely, but they do have money markets and things in those plans that sometimes are good and sometimes they're not. So you got to kind of look at it from a holistic view and figure out what you want to do from there. But putting it in your own name gives you the best control and clarity, I would say, overall, assuming you don't need the rules and plan benefits.
Yep, that's exactly what she wants to do. She wants to have a little more control over it, and she doesn't feel she has it at this point.
You know, Eric, if you give us a call at the office at 296-1127, it's 1127, we provide a one-hour consultation at no fee. And that would enable her to take a look at us to take a look at you guys and see if this is the right fit for you. What I'm going to say may sound negative, but I mean it in a positive way. We are a fee-only company.
Right.
We have virtually zero products to sell. We sit on the same side of the table as you. And through the blessings of Christ Jesus, he has rewarded us. We can afford to tell you, no, we would not be a good fit. And here's what we would suggest for you, or yes, we would be a good fit. So it really puts you in the best of positions. We'd love
appreciate
to
appreciate that. And I think, and I've taken your number, and I believe that I'll pass it along to my wife, and we'll be giving you a call.
Nice. Wonderful.
And sounds good.
Did you feel like that was helpful, Eric? You know,
absolutely.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, good. Listen.
Thank you very much.
God bless. Thank you. Let's go over to Tom, St. Augustine, globalization. And, yes, I do blame the schools.
Well, what's the question?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The school system is going socialist. And we're taking away, we talk about not having borders. When I went to school, we said the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America every day. Today, they don't say it at all.
Did you see this one school in California where all the students refused to stand and cite the Pledge of Allegiance?
You're talking about California, though.
Yeah, well, I know, but even still.
Aren't they the ones that wanted to secede most recently?
I thought that wasn't Texas? Or I guess they both did, didn't they?
No. California, well, like a couple of years ago, state said, we want to leave.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Go ahead,
but
Tom.
But it's everywhere, and it's not being led. Our educators are socialist, and so they don't lead it. They don't want you to be pledged to this flag. They want you to be a globalist, and this is what's killing our country.
Well, did you look, if you want to really see how real that is, the current UN policy has it's actual, what they're calling it, a Paris Peace Accord, is a euphemism. Its actual name is UN Agenda 2030. And if you will go online and search and get the agenda, and I probably would go UN Agenda 2030 and Canadian Free Press. They do a very good job at actually reporting it and not trying to sell you on the socialist concepts of it. It has 17 separate provisions. The last provision, the 17th, is in the year 2030, and this is where it gets its name. The UN assumes dominion over the world. These people are dangerously serious about what's happening. And folks have really better pay attention to this. UN Agenda 21, we talked about for years. That was the precursor to all of this. It had 40 provisions, and it set up exactly where we are going today. Obama followed that almost to the T. So if you haven't looked at it, look at it.
I haven't, but I agree. And Obama, I was never there. But I think that some of the Republicans were just as bad. And if we don't reelect President Trump, we're liable to lose our flag.
If President Trump is not reelected, he is the last hope that this shining beacon for the rest of the world has. And it will be a short time before America, as you even know it now, this is not the America that I knew, that I grew up with, or Tom, I'm sure you grew up with.
You're exactly right. And another thing I want to say on the economy, they're talking about this inversion. Yeah. But as a fact, Standard Poor's 500 went up for sometimes almost 24 months after the inversion. They kept going up.
Tom, you're stealing my thunder.
Well, I'm just telling you that the mainstream media is trying to talk it down because they're trying to talk Trump down, but they're wrong.
Sure. Well, listen, Tom, I certainly do appreciate your call, and I'm so glad when I hear callers that express the concerns that you have, as well as others. We have got to care. We've got to put Christ back in our homes, back in our churches, back in our schools, back in our businesses, and back in our government. And we wouldn't have the problems that we have now. So God bless you, my friend, and I do thank you so very much for your call.
I'd like to interject while
go for it.
So my daughter texted me. She's in third grade, and she said, "I like your job on the radio, Dad, but my school does still say the Pledge of Allegiance."
I know my kids do as well, but
there are some beacons of hope out there still.
Yep.
A lot of it comes down to, you know, us and you guys, the citizens, stepping in and talking to your county, your local leaders.
Keeping it there.
Keeping it there.
Go ahead. Corey, you have something?
No, I was just echoing what Mike was saying. Like, you know, my kids every morning, and they can spout it off pretty quickly. What I felt was really impressive, my son spouted off all the U.S. presidents, like, in without a hiccup. So it was really, really nice to see.
I couldn't do that. Okay, listen, God bless Tom. We have to take a short information timeout. We got John, Jim, and the rest of you guys and gals. Hang tight. We'll be right back to you listening to News 104.5 WOKV. It is 11:21. Did you know?
Did you know, or do you know, how long it takes to detect a recession?
No.
Corey? Hank?
No. I don't.
When it hits my pocketbook, immediately.
Not quite, but I will tell you after the break.
When we get back.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Yeah, lines are open. 855-765-1045. The last four are the same as our channel number, 1045. It's 11:26. Did you know?
Did you know the average recession isn't even recognized as a recession, typically until 8 to 9 months in, and by then you're 3/4 of the way through the darn thing. That means by the time most people want to sell their investments and things like that, they're close enough to the bottom that they'd just be better off sticking it
just
out.
Just hanging out, yeah.
Well, you're better off sticking it out anyway because you don't know. So anyway, let's get over to John. Yo, John.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm just finer than frogs here.
That's great. Reason for my call is I'm 49 years old, had what I thought was going to be a secure city pension, and really didn't save or plan for the future. So this year I was able to max out my contributions to the 457 and my contributions to the Roth. So if I'm not counting on, I think they're going to steal the money from me. You know, I'm not going to get the pension by the time I get there to get it. I've got about, you know, 12, 15 years left to work. So what else can I do? Should I go single stocks? You know, do I have the right to go mutual funds? I'm not sure what to do.
You can't see it. Corey sitting over there. Let me
take care of it. Let me ask you this, John. Have you actually figured out how much you need to save to be able to walk away in 10, 15 years?
No, every time I've looked at it, it's really depressing. I've always counted on the pension, and they're throwing numbers that I'll never be able to achieve. They're throwing like $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 numbers, and really I have nothing now.
I gotcha. So just out of curiosity, with the pension, how much is that, if it does work out the way that it should, what percentage of that do you think is going to take care of your expenses in the future?
Oh, I was counting on that to be around, 60 to 70% of my living expenses.
Okay. Gotcha. And, basically, the way that I look at it is you could probability weight that and say, hey, maybe I'll get 50% of it or 20% of it. But that'll feed how much you need to save. And then that feeds into your investments and really what you need to be looking at. What do you think, Mike?
I think, like you're saying, the best way to approach stuff like that is to always start at the end result and then work your way backwards to today.
Backward planning. I love it. I try to do it in everything I do.
So if we just assume the number's $400,000, mm-hmm. my $25,000 a year maximum contribution isn't really going to get me there if I lose the access to the 457. So
when did you think you would retire?
Well, I thought I'd retire around 60.
Okay. May I offer you an insight?
Sure, absolutely. I'd love to hear.
I started working when I was 9 or 10. I am a spry 75 now, and for me not to have a place to go to in the morning is scary as heck. And also, I happen to love doing what I do. It's like I have a second family with all of you guys as my clients. It gives me purpose, and darn if I don't get paid to do it. Which is
that's awesome, Hank. I mean, I salute you for continuing to work at your age, and I wish I had that same fire in my belly to wake up and go to work every day. But I can tell you that there are no 75-year-olds where I'm at, and
What is it that you do, John?
I'm basically in construction. Know what I mean? It's a city construction job, basically.
Okay. What would you if you had your will and you could work what would you want to do?
Well, if I had my preference, I started this job late in life. I would return to the railroad where I had more than 10 years there, but a little long in the tooth now. They're not going to, and that was basically a construction job as well, a very physical, body taxing type of job, and they're not going to hire a 60-year-old guy.
Sure, sure. I mean, I think overall, your concerns are very similar. Well,
we're going to have to.
We got to run?
Yeah.
Or we got to come back?
John, may I put you on hold?
Absolutely. I'm still waiting to know what I should do.
Okay, we're going to put you on hold, and I've got some good ideas for you. Okay, folks, we're going to take an information timeout, bring you up-to-date Fox National News, local weather, traffic patterns for the Jacksonville areas, even the did-you-knows. And, yes, the lines are open, 855-765-1045, so call now. Did you know?
What are the worst, average, and best Dow Jones Industrial declines during a recession?
Oh. Negative 42%.
What do you think, Hank?
I'm thinking maybe 39 if you're not throwing in the Great Depression.
I'm going back to 29 on mine, yeah.
Keep in mind, this goes all the way back to that 1854.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Okay, probably in 1894 there was a market collapse then, and it was quite significant. I just don't remember how much. Okay, we're going to have to take a break. Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You are listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Yes, our lines are open, 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045 is the beautiful, exotic, slightly wounded, but recovering Mystic Minx will tell you. Did you know?
Did you know the average Dow Jones Industrial Average decline during recessions, all recessions, is 11.9%. The average post-World War II is actually only down 6%. The worst ever was down 85.2%, and that was during the Great Depression. And the best was actually in the 53 to 54 recession, where the Dow Jones posted a 19% gain, not a loss. How about that for a recession?
What year was that?
53, 54.
So a slowdown in general business, but people were. That was the golden age, the 50s.
And I know we were talking about this during the break. We don't particularly like to use the Dow in general, but the Dow is the only one that had enough history to go back to the first recorded recession by the National Bureau of Economic Research.
And we're not going to tell them about the S&P because I want to use that as a
trivia question later.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay. Do you have anybody, Corey, you want to say hello to?
Yeah, I haven't talked to Jocelyn and Jacob, my two little, I call them my minions. My daughter's sixth grade and my son is in third, which is just blowing my mind. It's been a learning progress for all of us. So, but yeah, want to say hello to him this morning.
It goes so fast.
Oh, I can't even.
My goodness, I can't believe it because I have a third grader, I have a kindergartner, and I have just over a one-year-old, and that's Sarah, Emily, and Charlotte.
Yeah, I couldn't believe Mom was telling me that Miss Emily, now she's the kindergartner?
Correct.
Bows her chest out, hey, I'm going to ride the bus.
That did happen.
You know, most of them at that age are, no, I refuse to go unless you go with me.
Well, she was so excited because she goes to the same school as... As Sarah, the third
kids.
Grader.
The big kids.
So she's like, I get to go with my sister. Yeah.
That's, that's really nice.
And I want to say hello to Miss Emma Madden, my granddaughter. God bless you, honey. And her mom, Jennifer. And she has a wonderful, too, significant other. The only thing is he's dadgum jarhead. But you know something? Of all the awards and medals and citations I have, the one that is most meaningful to me, one of my junior officers was a Mustang. Came from the ranks. Anyway, that's what they call them in the Marine Corps. And Don Foss was his name. And Don made me an honorary Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps. And that meant a lot. My first tour in Vietnam was with 3rd Marines. We were assigned to them as general support. And we were their eyes in the 67-68 opportunity to experience the beauties of that tropical region. It wasn't beautiful.
That's kind of like the beautiful landscape of the Reg Desert in Afghanistan.
Yeah,
or
probably
the farmland.
Not much there.
Hey, John.
Yes.
You back?
Yes, sir, I am.
What do I hear in the background?
Driving?
No, I'm in the garage doing a little home project.
Beautiful.
Okay, listen. What is it that you absolutely love to do that you would do for nothing, but people are willing to pay you?
Pretty much what I do now. I mean, I don't mind going to work. I mean, I enjoy my job. I weld. I'm a mechanic. I take stuff apart. I put it back together. I get to see it run for a long period of time. I'm happy where I'm at. I do a good job at it. I'm well-liked. It's just I'm long in the tooth. And, you know, so I just don't know what to do. Do I look at single stocks? Do I look at, you know, it's not just for me another job. It's what if I have a year left or 3 years left while I have an opportunity to invest, how should I maximize the limited time that I have?
Okay, first off, don't chase yields, and that's what you're looking for, a silver bullet, and there are none. Secondly, let me make you feel a little bit better. You're indicating you've got about 3 years left with the city?
Yeah, you know, what's going on with the city right now and with, you know, the utility and, you know, trying to transition and, you know,
okay.
I don't know where I'm going to be on the other side of that. That's what I'm saying. I don't trust what's happening now, and I don't believe that the money will be there when it's time for me to get it.
Okay. First off, the money will be there. The pension guarantee fund will make sure that the money is there, although if they were called in to bail it out, I think it's something like 60%.
On
the dollar. But I don't think you're going to see that.
No.
I do think that what you will probably find, a lot of businesses and municipalities are trying to get rid of pensions. And so what they'll do is offer you a buyout.
Mm-hmm.
And with that buyout, you could then take that as a lump sum, roll it into a self-directed IRA, and then you've got the full realm of investment. If you had to guess today on what your pension amount would be, do you have any idea?
400, I think.
By the time I would reach my age, they say it would be worth about 50% of my take home. So, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to be in the 36,000 a year.
Okay. Divide that number by 6%. And that's just an approximate, and that'll give you an idea of about what the lump sum would be. Okay?
Okay.
Now, do you have any retirement accounts other than that?
No, sir. No, sir. I was always counting on that. And that.
Yeah.
He mentioned a 457.
Okay. And this, I never contributed to it until this year, and this year I maxed it out. And then the Roth, I maxed out the Roth. So okay. With what that's little good. Bit of time I have left this year, I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
are you married?
Yes, sir.
Does your wife work?
Yes.
At a salary job? I know she works.
No, she has a small job but offers zero benefits.
Okay. Now, do you need to have what she makes for the family to live?
Basically, with my accelerated retirement savings this year, we're living completely on what she brings home.
Okay. So just on what she brings home. So you have your whole paycheck, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't drawn a paycheck since April, basically.
Okay. How much annually do the two of you make? Approximately
before paying out anything for insurance or anything, you're looking at around 85 to 90.
Okay. So she would qualify for an IRA then?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You could fund her IRA with your money.
Mm-hmm. Spousal IRA.
Okay. Yes, now,
that's $6,000 max contribution, correct?
Higher than
how
that.
Old are no, you?
Yeah, it's got to be higher than that.
How old are you? 6,000 is the base, but if you're over 50, you get an extra grand you can throw away.
Okay, I'll be 50. Account. I'll be 50 in the. I turn 50 next year.
Okay. Next how year. About your wife?
She's much younger than me. She just turned 40.
Okay. Well, so 6,000 right now, but she could put in $6,000. You could also, are you maxing out your 457?
He said that.
Yeah. Yes, sir, it's maxed.
Okay.
Do they also offer a 401A?
I do not believe they do. I don't think they do. It's just
because I got a friend that works in the police, on the police side, and I know that's different from city.
Yep.
But he has a 401A, a 457, and a pension.
Yeah, from my memory, it's 457 mm-hmm. and pension is because they sealed up the pension and then created the 457. So.
Mm-hmm. Here is what I would do, since there is no real lump sum to work with, right? In other words, you don't have an accumulated.
Just my emergency fund. That's all I have left is the emergency fund.
Yeah, what I'm getting at, in your 457, you haven't accumulated 70, 80,000. You're just starting it, right?
Yes, sir. This is the first year.
Okay.
Yes,
I would use the S&P 500 right now. Don't worry about trying to get an elaborate diversification. The S&P, long term, you're not going to beat the market. And those that tell you they are beating the market, I would challenge them on that. Now, Corey, you worked with both Fidelity and TD Ameritrade.
Right.
How accurate is that statement?
I'd say 100% accurate. Yeah, there's studies abound that are just all about not beating the market. So, yeah, absolutely.
So I say the S&P. So say what, you two guys?
I say as long as you are able to understand that you're got some time before you actually try and retire, then that would be a good fit.
Yeah, 10-year ride. That's what I'm looking at, a 10-year
ride. Yeah, okay, And I would tell you, and I said this to a couple clients yesterday, you know, think of it like going to the doctor, right? You didn't have to really do it when you were younger, but as you get older, you tend to go to the doctor more often. So I would tell you, you know, keep a pulse, work with somebody who's going to help you through that and help you navigate it. Because as you get closer to needing to live on that money, the ability to withstand those swings is going to just, it could make you a little nauseous and a little bit more emotional on buying and selling things. So it's good to partner with somebody on that.
John?
And then what I'm looking for at the TD Ameritrade and the Fidelity, are there different mutual funds?
Stay away from those. Go to the indexes.
Yeah.
And just buy single stocks?
No.
Well, not stocks. Index. So an ETF would be...
Oh, electronically traded funds.
Exactly. So you want to look for something like... there are a couple of S&Ps.
SPY, IVO, IVV.
IVV.
Yeah.
VOO.
VOO, yeah.
Hey, John, if you come by... If you set up an appointment to come in the office, we will help you and your wife get organized and in the right directions to deal with this and make sure you're picking out the right fund.
Yeah, and I would
appreciate that.
Can I offer up this? So one thing I'll tell you, John, and this is one of the biggest things that I do with people as a planner, is you'd be surprised how much you can live on when you stop working, and especially if expenses are paid off and things. So, you know, me and the wife sat down about 2-3 months ago and did our budget and realized we were saving too much for the goals and things that we wanted to do. So I encourage people, sit down, do a monthly budget, you know, have someone there to help you kind of navigate through that, because you may be surprised you don't need maybe as much as you think you do.
I see. Well, thank you for that. How do I get in touch with you to set up an appointment?
296-1127.
296-1127. Thank you so much for your time, and I appreciate the show. I've been listening for several number of years. You guys have always helped me out, and I appreciate it.
God bless. We look forward to meeting with you, John.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Madden.
Bye-bye. Okay. Douglas is getting...
I'm curious.
Ooh.
Okay. Douglas. Did you know? Hello?
Hello. How are you?
Hi there. Terrific.
Me too.
I didn't know I was going to be on so quick.
Well, I queued you up because I want to get you up and your question, and then I'm going to have to put you on hold and go to a break. But I wanted to get you set up. Okay?
Well, okay. Otherwise, I could be quick, and then you can hang up. I got the idea of promoting a federal lottery. Seeing how the lottery system seems to be working in a multi-state effort, we can take 30% of that to offset our income taxes, 30% to pay down the national debt, and 30% can go into the Social Security fund. And then the other thing is the savings bond used to be a pretty cool idea, and we could reestablish that and call it the bailout bond. And that way we would invest and loan ourselves money and pay off our national debt. Then the final thing is did you know that the assault rifle was coined, that term was coined by Adolf Hitler? The other thing is that the M16 machine gun that everybody thinks of, like when they watch the gangster movies, was changed to where it was only a 3-round burst back in the 80s.
Correct.
So machine guns aren't what they used to be. And so nobody has seemed to provide that information.
Well,
they think that if you've got an M16, that you can do like the gangsters.
Okay. Yeah. Douglas, let me put you on hold if I might. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, hang tight. Folks, we're going to take a short information timeout, and then we're going to get right back to Douglas, who has solved the economic woes of the country and made some money for us guys.
Heck yeah,
go for it. So when the yield curve inverts on average, how long do you have until we actually fall into a recession? Hank, you almost stole my thunder.
18 months.
I know.
18 months.
What do you think?
I'm not going to answer.
Okay,
fair enough. I already gave the answer.
You were close.
18 months.
We're going to move out of the red light district for a short bit, and then we're going to get right back to you. You're listening to WOKV, whatever we are.
104.5.
Did you know if the yield curve inverts, occasionally it takes on average, it takes 10 to 22 months until recession actually starts. During that time, markets post some of the best gains, on average between 20% plus.
Wow.
So that's not all bad. Douglas.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, my friend. the federal lottery, understand this, that if you haven't read it, you need to read Modern Monetary Theory, MMT. Have you heard of it?
No, I have not, okay. But I will look that up.
Okay, Modern Monetary Theory is kind of a Bible for the Socialist Democrats. And basically what it is that as long as you borrow money based on your own currencies, then you will never be without money. Once you've spent that, well, that's no big problem. Just print some more money. And that is a theory that is being taught right now in universities. It is scary as heck, but that's how the damn socialist, that's one word too, get away doing what they do and push it. And they honestly believe that, hey, trillion here, what's wrong with 5 trillion a year in spending? It doesn't mean anything to them until all of a sudden that house of cards gets called. Then it becomes something. Art Laffer, I don't know if you ever listened to him. He was Reagan's chief economist and developed the Laffer curve. If you can find some of his talks on the monetary system, it's fascinating to listen to him, and he's funny as heck.
Really want to throw something in there on that federal lottery. So there's one other thing to think about a federal lottery. I love the idea in some regards. In others, it's not good.
Okay.
It would target the folks that don't have a lot of smarts around their money.
Yeah. Yep. Poor tax, is that what they call it?
Yep.
Yeah. Or money to waste. Hey, folks, we got to get out of here. If nobody said they cared about you today, know that Michael, Corey, and I do, and if the Mystic Minx were here, she would tell you the same. Always remember this, your greatest investment that you'll ever make.